Do you feel like you need God's encouragement and wisdom throughout the week to take hold of His promise to fly like an eagle? You come to the right place. Welcome to Eagles on the Hill. Let's join our host, Pastor Jeff Scheich.
Hey people, I am your host, Pastor Jeff Scheich. Thanks for joining us on this edition of the podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about in vitro fertilization, IVF, in part because it's been in the news a lot lately, and we'll talk about that in a moment, but also because it's something I've wanted to talk about, it's been on my heart to talk about for quite some time, because we as pro-life Christians, as Christians who understand that God gives the gift of life from the time, from the moment of conception until the moment of natural death, that God is the giver, the author of life, that He is the only one who can give and take away human life. That is His prerogative. And so we as Christians who understand that, IVF becomes something that we're very interested in for any number of reasons. In many people's lives, maybe more than you would know, different people who are married struggle with infertility, struggle with wanting to have children. And of course, that's the first commandment God gave to Adam and Eve in the garden, was be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And so it's a command of God to us who are married, as God sees fit to give that to us through Adam and Eve, to be fruitful and multiply. And yet, for various, a whole variety of reasons, married couples sometimes are not able to have children on their own, so to speak. Melinda and I would be included among that number. And so in vitro fertilization comes along as a great blessing to enable some who are unable to have children on their own, to enable us to have children. In our particular case, that's not how we had our family. We had our family of children through adoption, but nevertheless, a great blessing in the lives of many people that I know, people in our congregation, people that I've known who have had children through that, well, we'll call it a miracle of IVF. However, with every kind of human invention, if you will, any kind of human agency, there's always some downsides, and in fact, some great grave difficulties with the practice and putting into practice this scientific gift of IVF. And some of these moral issues have not been thought through by our society, for sure. And some of these moral issues perhaps have not been thought through even by Christians who desire to follow Jesus and whose hearts, I would say, are in the right place. So about a week ago, President Trump made an announcement that during the campaign, the most recent campaign, he announced that he was in favor of IVF, and about a week ago signed an executive order that he would be in favor of and be promoting the expansion of IVF, because we want more babies, as President Trump said. So I want to talk about that today. And yet, as I thought about what I would say about it, I felt like I could not do much better, if at all better, in fact, I'd probably do worse, than Albert Mueller on his podcast, The Briefing. And I've encouraged you, as listeners of Eagles on the Hill, to be also paying attention to what Albert Mueller says on The Briefing, the podcast called The Briefing. And so what I want to do for my podcast today, since I'm going to guess that there's some of you, perhaps, who found Albert Mueller's podcast and listened to it from time to time, but many of you probably, well, that's the life of a pastor. Many of you probably did not take my advice to find Albert Mueller's The Briefing, and so did not hear what Albert Mueller said on February 19th, 2025, just about a week ago. So I want to really use what he said, and I am begging, borrowing, and literally stealing from him. And so I'm acknowledging that that is who should get the credit for what you're going to hear on the remainder of this podcast. So here we go. And I'll note when I'm talking myself, but basically going to quote Albert Mueller here for the next few moments. So Albert Mueller, The Briefing, February 19th, 2025. It's entitled, Because We Want More Babies, President Trump Announces IVF Expansion, but the end does not justify the means. And this is Albert Mueller now. Quote, the issue of in vitro fertilization, test tube babies, very much on the front pages because of the statement made by the President of the United States as Donald Trump made very clear that he signed an executive order intended to work throughout the federal government to remove obstacles, to expand access, and to reduce the cost of in vitro fertilization. So many worldview issues are immediately invoked here. It is important to look at one of the statements made by the president. He said that he was signing this order, quote President Trump, because we want more babies, to put it nicely, unquote. The president continued, quote, and for the same reason we will also allow new parents to deduct major newborn expenses from their taxes so that parents that have a beautiful baby will be able. So we're pro-family. But the IVF treatments are expensive. It's very hard for many people to do it and get it. And I've been in favor of IVF right from the beginning. Unquote from the president. All right, so Albert Mueller. This is a president who has taken so many bold actions through executive orders, and frankly, this one requires us to think very carefully. On the one hand, thinking very biblically, we agree wholeheartedly with the president when he says we want more babies. The fall off of the birth rate is one very, very dangerous indicator of the secularization of our culture and the subversion of marriage and the subversion of the very first command given to the man and woman in the garden, which was to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. We are looking today at a birth dearth, as it has been described, a fall off of the birth rate that has been absolutely catastrophic. The president understands that, and in his repeated statements, I think he understands it at several levels. He understands that as president of the United States, he understands it as someone who, by the way, has been in business. The fall off of the birth rate is going to have a devastating impact on business, the economy, the health of our nation. But I think he's also speaking here as a grandfather and as a father, and it's clear that he finds great satisfaction in his grandchildren, and that's the way it should be. And thus, when the president says we want more babies, I want to say bravo on any effort undertaken by the federal government within its proper bounds to encourage having more babies. And most importantly, that would mean removing obstacles in the tax code, et cetera, et cetera. So in terms of that primary worldview commitment, let's be very clear, having more babies is a good thing. Albert Mueller continues, the technology the president was pushing here is a different story, and we need to think about it carefully, because agreeing with the president that we need more babies, we can understand just about anything that would lead to more babies might be greeted as a good thing, but here's where Christians need to think Christianly and biblically in a way that requires a little more energy than might be the case on other issues. Specifically, by the way, the president and the White House made reference to the cost of IVF, which can range up to $25,000 per cycle. And they talk about the absence of coverage of IVF in many insurance plans and so forth. Mueller says, I want you to note something very carefully. The White House did not define the family in this policy. And we can understand that it can't define everything in every policy, but we do have to understand that when there's a reference to IVF and to families, in the main, you're looking at the fact that for many people for whom IVF is the only option, it's the only option because they are not in the context of biblically defined marriage. We're talking about a lot of single people who are making use of this so that it's children without marriage, and we're talking about same-sex couples and an entire industry of IVF and of surrogacy and all the rest. The worldview issues loom large over this in a way that we cannot turn our heads from. We can't divert our eyes from this. This is something we need to understand. We understand the deep desire on the part of many couples to have babies. We understand that. And I'll just make a personal comment here. I referenced earlier that Melinda and I were infertile. And so I personally, from a very personal standpoint, understand this. Back to Mueller. We understand that many couples have struggled with infertility, or at least with the difficulty of having babies when they expected to have babies. So again, let me state clearly what I'm talking about in this desire for children is righteous. I'm talking about babies in the context of biblically defined marriage. In other words, what he's saying is, and not in so many words, this is my own comment now, is that IVF can be a blessing. As I said at the top of the broadcast or the podcast, IVF can be a blessing within the bounds of biblically defined marriage of a husband and wife. Albeit with a caveat that we understand that every life created from the moment of conception is welcomed and cherished, and that becomes a challenge even for Christian, biblical, God-fearing couples with IVF. We'll talk about that more later, but let's keep going with Mueller. Now, the problem when it comes to IVF is when all this becomes an abstraction. So this is key. Abstraction means that something is taken out of its proper context. So abstraction, the biblical worldview would remind us, brings great moral risk. And the greater the abstraction, the greater the moral risk. At some point, the moral risk tips over into something that is a very significant moral wrong. So just to put the matter as clearly as I can, says Muller, in biblical terms, when you start with a man and a woman who are married to each other, and they seek to have a child, and within the marital relationship, a child comes as a gift, there's nothing abstracted at all. That is how God designed it. It was to Adam and Eve, the first couple, that God said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. That's just obedience. That's completion. That's wholeness. There's no abstraction, no problem. But if you abstract anything beyond that point, you start to bring in moral risk and moral danger. So that's to say, when you're talking about marriage, let's just say we're talking about the marital act. So anything abstracted from the marital act brings a certain kind of moral risk. This could include, for example, artificial insemination, AI, as it's been called. But the abstraction there is at a fairly low level of risk because you're talking about the husband's cells and the woman's cells, and they're talking about the husband's cells being placed within his wife. And so you can look at that and say, well, that's a bit of an abstraction. It's abstracted from the marital act, but there might be reasons, including obstacles to fertilization, that can be overcome that way. And so you're talking about a very clear limitation of the total picture of man and woman in marriage to their own reproductive cells and to the process of fertilization taking place within the mother, within the wife. Now, something a lot of Christians don't think about is that there is a level of abstraction which leads to significant moral risk with the use of many aids, for example, in ovulation, because you might end up with multiple pregnancy. You might end up not just with the pregnancy in terms of one baby, but multiple babies, and that's a risk. But we understand it's a low moral risk if the couple is going to welcome every single one of those babies. But in the contemporary context of medicine, and now you even have reproductive medicine as a largely a discipline unto itself, you have best practices defined in such a way that medical advice may say you need to reduce, selective reduction, the number of unborn babies in the womb. So in other words, you'd actually terminate some. You would remove some, the argument is, in order that perhaps the one or two babies might flourish. And one is the preferred number of the general practice. So Christians understand that there's nothing necessarily wrong with the abstraction of taking a hormonal drug for ovulation, but if that is going to result in the death in the womb by medical intervention, in other words, intentional death in the womb, Muller's saying, then that's turned from a medical risk into a moral wrong. See what he's saying there? I hope you see what he's saying. Now he moves on to IVF. Muller says, you're talking about with IVF a very significant elevation of moral risk in biblical terms because it's a significant increase in abstraction. Because now both cells are outside the human body. The fertilization takes place outside the woman's body. And the abstraction gets far worse. In many cases, and in some situations, maybe most cases, you're not even talking about cells that are limited to the man and the woman in marriage at all. In some cases, you're not even talking about marriage. And in other cases, you're talking about a commercial market in reproductive cells that very quickly becomes a catalog in which a person chooses, let's see, who do I want to be the father of my child? Who would I want to be the mother of my child? In the most draconian and scary fashion, you can now go to some of these websites and you can look at reproductive cells for sale. And they're graded by quality. They're marked by specific genetic markers, hair color, eye color. In some cases, something even like anticipated athletic ability, as judged by the athletic ability of the donor. And so you immediately recognize we're not just in the danger zone of eugenics, we're in eugenics, which means the good birth, which means you're choosing who should live and who should die. And you're going to say, this is the quality I would expect of a baby. And in the modern process of reproductive technology, assisted reproductive medicine, let's face it, an awful lot of this is premised upon the expectation of a certain quality of the baby that might be acceptable. I would comment we're getting into a very dangerous realm here. Back to Muller. I don't need to minimize at all, and many of us know firsthand, the longing for a baby in the context of marriage. The president very clearly did identify the fact we want more babies. And in his own words, he clearly identified the fact that there are many people longing for a baby. But here's what we need to understand as Christians, the danger of this particular reproductive technology is that marriage is often not in the picture at all. That's Muller's main, if I'll editorialize myself, that's his main point. where the train goes off the tracks. Okay, back to Mueller. There's an international market when it comes to, like, women who want babies, but outside the context of marriage. You have same-sex male couples who want babies. That's not going to happen unless you have the test tube baby, so to speak, in vitro fertilization, and then you have a surrogate mother. And then we're getting really into abstraction. We're at 2 and 3 levels of abstraction. And you have lesbian couples doing the very same thing. And sometimes, by the way, going through professional medicine and sometimes just contracting for services. In an odd way, to make the point, it's very interesting. At the same time this story came out, news broke in the media that a major social influencer had indicated she has had a child in the last few months by, you guessed it, Elon Musk. As you look at this, the big story here is that it just reminds us that in the context of birth, this is morally significant. Once again, the baby is a baby to be celebrated, cared for, and cherished. But the context, the moral context, is also important. Elon Musk is in himself a mass of worldview issues. He's evidently big into IVF, and at least several of his babies, which may number as many as 12 or 13, at least several of those babies were conceived by IVF. There's nothing evidently in Elon Musk's worldview that would raise this as a troubling issue. And you're also looking at someone who at least at times has leaned into the idea that human beings can engineer a new human future. And by that, I'm not just talking about actions with consequences. I'm talking about actual re-engineering of humanity. There's an article entitled, "Elon Musk's Babies Were Conceived Via IVF and Surrogacy. Is That the Future of Reproduction?" Listen to the article. It's not just about Elon Musk, but listen to how the issue is described. Quote, "Elon Musk is not the only one opting for IVF instead of the traditional approach. Several people in my network recently told me they chose IVF and surrogacy. Some decided to do this to improve the chances of having a healthy baby." Mueller continues, I'll just insert here again, this is eugenics. This is seeking a quality baby. The article continues, "One of my friends decided to reproduce via a surrogate in order to have undisputed legal rights and ensure that his plans to invest substantial resources into the upbringing and education of their offspring do not go down in flames due to an unexpected divorce." And Mueller continues, now how's that for an indication of what abstraction will lead to? Now you have an individual intentionally abstracting the baby from marriage, even from a wife, and instead having a baby by IVF and surrogacy in order to have complete control over that baby, into whom he plans to invest significant resources and does not want those resources diluted by a spouse. I'll editorialize, isn't that what God planned all along? To have a spouse as part of that. Back to Mueller. The article continues, and some choose surrogacy for health reasons. Okay, so the question asked by Forbes is, can this method of reproduction become mainstream? Are we going to see this trend accelerate as the artificial uterus technology matures and natural reproduction declines? Unquote. So here you have a major, indeed one of the most influential business periodicals in the world, namely Forbes, asking the question, if the future of human reproduction is to be taken out of marriage, is to take it out of the relationship of a mother and father, and just put it into the industry of assisted reproduction. And Forbes asks, is this going to become the norm? Well, if we were machines and a baby is a commercial product, then why wouldn't this become a norm? Which is a reminder that we're up against a whole lot more confusion on this issue. There are some people who really aren't confused. They're just determined to get what they want. All right, Mueller continues. Okay, now I want to point to the coverage of President Trump's executive order and the policy sent down by the White House. It's not a radical policy at this point. It does not radically expand IVF at this point, but it does say that he's ordering a comprehensive government effort to try to do that very thing. And again, remember, the Christian worldview reminds us the more abstract you get, the more the moral abstraction, the higher the cost is going to be, not only morally, but financially. Let's just say when a mom and dad have a baby through the normal marital relationship, that's a low-cost beginning. It gets more expensive as time moves on. But if that's not how the baby begins, by definition, it's going to get more expensive. And as medical technology goes on, the problem is that you're looking for a market in these things. And as I say, we already have the danger, indeed the moral horror, of a market in human genetics. But you're also looking at the fact that when something like this comes along, it follows the economic principle that when something becomes more routine, it becomes more common, and thus the net cost goes down per unit. But in this case, the social or economic investment goes up exponentially. Don't miss the fact that there are many institutions and many professionals who stand to make a lot of money if indeed there's a widespread government funding for IVF. There are many who are responding to the White House announcement with their own vested interests. My interest, and I would echo Mueller here, my interest is in helping Christians think through these things biblically, and we do so with great sympathy to those who are struggling within the context, particularly a biblical marriage, to have babies. But we do understand that the moment you abstract these things, you create an international market in surrogacy, an international market in human gametes. And you have a situation in which now millions of human embryos, every single one of those embryos, a human being made in the image of God, are destroyed in a process that no one really wants to acknowledge, but is right there, no question. Last year, Republican Senate Majority Leader Senator John Thune of South Dakota made the statement, quote, "Republicans support IVF, full stop," unquote. Well, that was because in the context of the 2024 election campaign, when IVF came up, there were many people who said the Trump administration would bring IVF to an end. And candidate Trump, now President Trump, made very clear that he supported IVF. He made a pledge to expand IVF. So I want to say, as we must say, as an evangelical Christian deeply committed to the biblical worldview, someone who seeks to consistently contend for the sanctity and dignity of human life, as one who understands the glory of the gift of a baby, but understands the moral risk is very rare and real, and moral wrong is very close, that we, on balance, I lament this announcement by the White House. I don't lament its goal in terms of having more babies. And I will add here something I wish Mueller would have said, that is, I don't lament how IVF is helping couples, biblical, in a biblical marriage, have more babies in certain contexts. Back to Mueller, that's to be celebrated, and there's courage in establishing that goal and doing so from the White House, but the means as well as the ends are important to Christian worldview. And in this case, it is the means at stake that represent the problem. Before I leave this issue, Mueller says, I have to say one thing of absolute importance, lest there be any misunderstanding. The Christian biblical worldview makes very clear that every single human being is a good gift, that every single human being is made in God's image, that every single human life, every single human birth is to be celebrated in terms of the baby, but not necessarily celebrated in terms of the context into which the baby is born or the process whereby the conception took place. The fact is, and this is of utmost importance, the baby is not responsible for either context. The baby is to be received, cherished, honored, and absolutely welcomed as God's gift. And Christian couples who are struggling with infertility are to be respected for having the absolutely right desire. The stewardship of all these things is what falls to us, and it falls to Christians to be able to talk about these things responsibly and to the best of our ability biblically. As this headline development was coming yesterday, when Mueller recorded this, he said, we're going to have to be talking about these things for some time to come. Well, that's Albert Mueller. And typically, as his podcasts run about 25 minutes long, look where we are with this podcast of mine at 23 and a half minutes. And that's because I've cut down some of the things that Mueller had in his podcast. But some real food for thought there as we think about IVF. Again, I want to stress for, and this is me, the blessing of IVF for Christian couples. And also, as we think about the importance, the blessing of every child from the moment of conception, I would think it would be, not I would think it would be, it is incumbent upon Christian couples who desire to follow Jesus, who desire to be in God's will, as they would go through this process of IVF, that they would take great care of all of the children created through this process, and be ready to receive all of them or to make plans for the adoption of some of them, but not to forget that every child, even from the moment of conception, is created in the image of God. And so my thanks, my just great glory in some of the couples I've heard who have gone through IVF, who have really taken this biblical worldview, this blessing of God to heart, and have cared for and blessed all of the children created through this process of IVF and all of the science that goes into that. So they've received this scientific breakthrough with great joy and great faithfulness to the scriptures. And my hat is off. Well, I don't have a hat on, but my hat is off, and my applause goes out to these Christian couples who have done so. And our encouragement then to other couples who are considering IVF to really weigh these factors out very carefully, as we certainly seek to follow Jesus in all the things that we do, knowing that we want to be faithful, but also knowing that his ways are best. So there you have it. Write us at eaglesonthehill211@gmail.com. Let me know your experiences with IVF, your thoughts about it, if you've personally welcomed children into your home or into your family, extended family through IVF. Let us know how that went and the joys of that, and the struggles you may have had as you processed these scientific breakthroughs. Remember that those who hope in the Lord will fly on wings like eagles. And I have to say as I close, boy, did those eagles sure fly a few weeks ago in the Super Bowl, huh? How about that? All right, we'll talk to you next time on the podcast. Thanks for listening.